Well, hello, my friends, and good Monday morning to you. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Roger. Behind the scenes is my wife, Angie, and together we make up the Barnabas Bridge. And just before we start out here, I want to give you a reminder that we've started developing just last week a study guide that goes along with our weekly discussion. And so if you haven't got one of those yet, you can sure write into our email address, thebarnabasbridge@gmail.com. And just give us your email address and your name, and we'll get one fired off to you this week, too. It's just once a week we send it out, and it's a short study for each day of the week. If you were with us last week, you know that the topic was called, I've Learned to Be Content. And we base that on an amazing statement that the Apostle Paul made in Philippians chapter 4. And what he said was that it doesn't matter if he's well-fed or hungry, in plenty or want. In fact, it didn't matter the situation at all, the external situation at all, because he was learned to be content in any and every situation. And so we took that and we wanted to be a piece of that too. We wanted to learn what that must be like and how do we get there. And so through the week, we went through different avenues of scripture and tried to draw closer to our own understanding, our own learning, what that might look like in the life of a believer to learn to be content in any and every situation. We finished up the week, as you might know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. And it was Paul speaking to his younger protege now, a different period in his life. And he was telling him, this is what I've learned and this is what you need to know. And he said that godliness and contentment is great gain. That idea that we were chasing after all week, trying to see what it'd be like to be content in any and every situation. Paul thought that was one of the primary things that he could pass on to the next generation of leaders in the church. And he said that godliness and contentment is great gain. And so it is accomplished through focused work and really exposure to new learning. He said, I have learned. And so even with Paul, it was a process. It wasn't something that it was just natural to him. But over the course of a lifetime, he learned God's faithfulness. And he learned that God was in control. And so he had great gain in this godliness and contentment in his own life. And so he goes on in this same chapter, and he says that there's actually not just the great gain, but there's evidence of how far you have come in your learning and in that gain. And in verse number 11, he describes it like this, you man of God, flee from all of this. And he was speaking of worldly distractions, the thing that might take Timothy away from his focused learning, his focused attempt to gain. You man of God, flee from all of this and pursue, right? Pursue that focused work in Timothy's life. Pursue these things, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. It's really an amazing thing because today, what I'd like to do is just kind of take that as the evidence then of contentment. And that's going to be what we'll be talking about this week is those attributes that Paul told Timothy to pursue, to chase after, and get these things as part of your own life. Because when you are seeking contentment, seeking godliness, then these things are going to show up in your life. And so today I'd like to talk about righteousness and godliness, the things that Paul said was absolutely unsurpassed great gain. And I want to put kind of a warning or an asterisk as we begin this week and say none of the evidence that Paul tells Timothy to go after, to pursue, to learn, to gain into his life, none of those things are available to any of us, to any human. Apart from a restored relationship with God the Father, through God the Son, and then guided and nurtured and learned and taught by God the Holy Spirit. And so if we are talking about righteousness and godliness today, I want to talk about righteousness to begin with and tell you that is a bad news, good news story. The bad news is that when we are talking about having God, the righteousness of the Bible, We have absolutely no ability to achieve biblical righteousness because the standard of that is far, far too high for us to attain. Righteousness before God, then, is God's own perfection in everything that we do. Can you imagine that? The Bible is requiring to be righteous, to be righteousness of God, the perfection of God in everything that we say, everything that we do, even everything that we think. And so we cannot do that. The Bible sets up a standard of righteousness that is impossible for us to attain. But I told you there's a bad news and a good news portion to this understanding of righteousness. The thing that Paul told Timothy to seek. We find the answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21 says this. But God made him who had no sin. Isn't that something? God made him who had no sin to be sin. Jesus Christ came in order to establish and give us the opportunity of righteousness, the true righteousness of God before God, perfection. He was perfect in everything that he did, and he who had no sin came to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And all of God's people say, amen, right? We have this opportunity because of Jesus Christ coming, being the righteousness of God, sacrificing on the cross for our sins, and now restoring a relationship with God. And so with that, we have the opportunity then to start pursuing these godly characteristics that Paul was speaking of. And so this godliness, I want to go there now, that the New Testament interpretation then of godliness is a proper response to the things of God, which produce obedience and righteous living. Isn't that something? So our response, how do you respond to that? That God came to earth and died for our sins, something we could not do. Well, then we respond in obedience and in striving and a learning and a pursuing righteous living. So as you know, Jesus is the perfect embodiment of that definition. Perfect. And then what do we do with that? I read this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, and I just could not believe how God is so clear and succinct in his word. About godliness, about our ability to follow, our obedience, and our attempt at righteous living, God says this, beginning in verse number 21, to this you were called. We were called to be righteous and godly because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. Isn't that fabulous? Leaving an example that we should follow in his steps. So that's what we're going to do this week. We are going to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who did it perfectly, the one who came without sin, God himself who demonstrated how to walk on this planet Earth through all the muck and the mire, the troubles and the storm, the highways and the dryways, right? Amazing opportunity we have this week. We're still seeking the understanding of contentment, but now we want to grasp onto these things, this idea of godliness. And Paul goes on and says, pursue these things, Timothy, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. And we'll look at each one of those this week, how Jesus did it and how he demonstrated it. And we're hoping then to find by Friday, maybe we won't have great gain. Maybe you will. I just know myself well enough. Maybe I'll move just a little bit further down the road to being just a little bit more like Jesus. Contentment, remember folks, is contingent on our standing before God. Contentment is contingent on our standing before God. And our standing before God is wholly dictated by our relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And then after that, folks, everything that we aspire, everything that we have ability to do, the evidence that we are hoping to show in this contented life must be guided by ears that are willing to listen, by God the Holy Spirit. I hope you come back this week. I think it's going to be a good one. I'm excited about it, and I hope you are too. We're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to head out into our Monday, and God willing, we'll see you back tomorrow, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message, and I just am blown away by your scripture, God, that just, it's almost like connect the dots. And when we do under the power of the Holy Spirit and we understand what you're saying to us and that it's all possible, not because any good that's in us, but because you came and loved us so well and so fully and so thoroughly that you came to earth and you died and you restored this understanding of righteousness before you, perfection in your eyes, not because of me, but because of your beautiful, perfect Son. And now, God, we hear these scriptures and our soul is lifted up because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So be with us today, be with us this week, be with my friends at all times. God, watch over us, keep us safe until we meet again. Folks, take care. We'll see you tomorrow, okay? Have a great day. Bye.